This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 297, recorded Monday, May 9th, 2016, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and that number after 2. Great. To another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. Excitement not guaranteed.
What? Not guaranteed?
Yes.
Chew out your mind.
That's what I always say. Excitement cannot be guaranteed.
Excitement can be guaranteed. It is guaranteed. It shall be guaranteed.
Okay. So what you want me to do is ramp up the excitement level?
Or, sure, why not?
Okay. Let me think.
Woo!
I have to think about this.
Imagine me shaking my hands above my head going, woo!
Happy Victory Day.
European Victory Day.
Yes.
Yep.
Commemorating the capitulation of Nazi Germany to the Soviet Union at the end of the Second World War.
Are you surprised I knew that?
No.
Oh, I am.
Don't forget, it is also, of course, Liberation Day.
Yay!
And let's see what other interesting things happened. Oh, it's John Ashcroft's birthday.
Who's that?
He was the Attorney General.
Is that important?
Often.
Okay.
Not always.
Well, happy birthday to you, Mr. Ashton. Often. Afton. Mr. Often? No. It's important often. His name is Ashton. 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 Ashton? Martin?
John Ashcroft.
Ashcroft. That sounds like a very British name.
I was just looking at the birthday. It appears that not many things happened on the May 9th that I can say I'm pleased about talking about. For example, okay. This is the anniversary of the execution of Habib El-Ghanian.
I don't know who that is.
In 1979, he was executed by firing squad in Tehran, which prompted the mass exodus of 100,000 strong Jewish community.
That sounds less than ideal.
In 1974, the House Judiciary Committee opens formal and public impeachment hearings against Richard Nixon. 1970, 75,000 to 100,000 war protesters demonstrate in front of the White House against war. The premiere of the movie Vertigo, 1958.
I don't remember that being a good movie.
I prefer high anxiety. 1942, more execution. U-boats sink some French forces. Here we are. 1941, German U-110 is captured by the Royal Navy on board as the latest Enigma, which Allied cryptographers later used to break coded German messages. Okay, that's...
Woo!
That's why I said not necessarily a happy day. That one wasn't. Oh, it's Billy Joel's birthday. Good for him.
Who's that?
You've never heard of Billy Joel?
The name sounds familiar.
The guy who sung Piano Man. No, there are many names I'm surprised you haven't heard of. Oh well. So it's another week. Yes, and I'm planning yet another trip. Well, I wanted to put it up because it's going to be on the calendar. On the 6th of June, I'm coming in from a conference that morning. I'm doing that whole red eye thing where the plane arrives at 8 a.m. local time, and then I'm thinking of going to work stupidly. So it is quite possible by the time 10 o'clock comes around that I will be unconscious.
That should make for a fun podcast.
If I fall asleep, can we reschedule the podcast for the next day?
Tung, tung, tung. Guru. Tung, tung, tung. Wake up. Guru. Hello.
Hopefully I don't fall asleep.
An hour long of that. Guru. Hello.
I'd like to point out how many times you've done this podcast while saying that you're really tired.
What?
On several
I know not of that which you speak. You know, oddly, I am feeling particularly peppy today.
That's
and you'd want to know why?
You're taking some medication?
Because I was sick all weekend long, but I'm not sick today.
That's
so good. I feel good.
I'm glad that you're no longer sick.
I think it also helped that my phone, the battery died overnight, so I didn't have an alarm to wake me up. So I woke up naturally and, you know, late-er. Not really late, just later. I normally wake up like several hours before I'm supposed to be at work. So, you know, oversleeping by an hour doesn't actually affect my work that much. Of course, it helps that I don't have to be at work until noon.
Lately, I've been at work, but I have people to work with in the day. Anyway.
And see, that just makes your job that much worse because you have to, like, work with, you know, people and stuff. And
well,
that's just...
Well, when I recently changed jobs, they put on the job description flexible. I've discovered recently that flexible means when we tell you to do something, no matter what time of day it is, you should probably do it.
That's part of salary.
Yeah. I miss when I was not exempt from over. Oh, well, can't win them all. But I did have one other programming note. On the 13th, I'm going to have to...
13th of... Okay.
It is a holiday until sundown. And I figured that I shouldn't rush for the show, that it would be easier for me to postpone the following.
Okay.
That concludes my programming notes. Oh, by the way, since my I will be spending the weekend, the previous weekend, the one where I would be possibly asleep, that will be the first, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th, I'll be spending in Portland, which I've never
been. Ooh, Portland's nice.
Oh, you've been to Portland?
Yeah, man, that's where my, I don't go to work until noon because the company I work for is out of Vancouver, which is only slightly north of Vancouver. So when I go see them, I fly into Vancouver.
Out of Portland.
I think we had this conversation.
So you, when you see them, you fly into Vancouver. So how does that have to do with Portland?
I don't. I fly into Portland. When I see them in Vancouver, I fly into Portland.
That's not what you said.
Well, that's what I meant to say. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pick a lock.
Should I ask?
What?
Why you're trying to pick a lock?
Practice.
Oh, okay. But maybe you can tell me what the wonderful things to see in Portland are. Do they still Shanghai people there?
They haven't since I was there.
So you didn't go into a bar, have a drink, and wake up after on a three-year voyage to the Orient?
Nope. Although that happened to me in Millington.
Sorry to hear that. Did it turn out well?
Well, ended up in the Navy for 10 years.
They Shanghai'd you into the United States Navy?
Well, what else would they Shanghai me into?
I don't know. I did thought that Shanghaiing didn't involve military. I thought it was usually they put you on a boat and you were so far out to sea that if you didn't cooperate, then you pretty much got thrown overboard.
Well, that pretty much sounds like the military to me.
Okay.
I may or may not have fond memories.
Well, I heard that the thing I should see in Portland was a bookstore.
Which bookstore?
Powell's. I'm told that it is a very, that is worth seeing. I don't know what else they're in Portland, but I am there to conference.
Oh, then that's what you should probably do while you're there.
Yeah, but you know, you have a little time. You want to look around a little, you know, see the site. I don't have time for multiple ones. I may look around the downtown area. I heard there was water. And, you know, I've seen plenty of television shows filmed and used to watch Leverage.
I like Leverage. Leverage was a good show.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't always filmed in Portland, though.
Yes, but it was filmed in Portland, and The Librarians is now filmed.
Is it really?
Isn't that annex building that they have on that show set in Portland?
I think the annex building is the bottom of a bridge or something. I don't think
I thought it was in Portland.
I don't know. It could be.
Well, we can solve this right now. TV shows filmed in Portland. I'm sure there's a website that... here we are. Filmedinportland.com. Currently filming in Portland. This is clearly dated. Let's see. Grimm? Leverage?
Yeah, okay, Leverage.
Well, it says currently. That's why I'm suggesting that it might be. 18 shows you didn't know that were set in Oregon. Grimm, Portlandia, Bates Motel. So maybe I will go see where they film something. Because they have to film something somewhere, right?
Yep. I'm having a hard time finding out where The Librarians is filmed.
Well, let's see here. The series films in Portland. Some scenes were filmed at the Oregon State Capitol in Salem.
But mostly that area. Okay.
Season 2 of The Librarians filmed in Southwest Portland.
You know, Christian Kane, the fighter guy in Librarians?
Yeah.
Fighter
guy from Leverage.
Yep. Yeah, he was the hitter from Leverage, and he was in Angel as well. I mean, I've liked just about everything he's in. It's just sad that he's not in more stuff.
Well, isn't that like anybody that you like? You see enough of them?
Pretty much.
For years, I was a fan of David Paymer, and I never saw enough of him. I'm still a fan of David Paymer, but I never see him. Then again, he's getting older. Want to talk about Android?
So, you were saying it's another week. It's also another month, and another month means more distribution numbers, which were updated for May 2016. And we'll be happy to see that Marshmallow has climbed to a 7.5%. Which is a lot, considering it was 4.6% last month. So yay, right? Is that where you wanted to go with that?
That is where I was going to go with that.
Did I do okay?
Yeah.
Did I disappoint you? You're sad, aren't you? I'm sorry. I'll do better next month.
What did they give you for not feeling well?
Acetaminophen. Oh. I'm normally an ibuprofen guy.
Oh.
For the last couple of days, I've been...
Was it Tylenol number 3?
No, I think it's generic acetaminophen 500.
Okay. So Google released its May security update, and it patched an exploit that allows access to SMS and call logs, which affects Jelly Bean and Below.
Which is crazy.
But it's nice that they patched it.
It is.
Not that we're 100%.
Nice okay, Jelly Bean is an older version of the operating system, and they're still updating it. That's nice. Cool. Good job, Mr. Google. Proud of you. Good job. Star for you. Gold star.
Your turn again.
Okay, so, like always, security, never quite good enough. Apparently, if you have a Gmail account, and hey, who of us doesn't, your email account password may have gotten out, may have gotten into the wrong hands. 24 million of them have gotten loose, which, okay, let's be honest, 24 million is probably like 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10 of 1% of all of them, but still, 24 million is a lot of people. So check your password, change your password, be happy.
When was the last time you changed your password?
To what? To my primary Google account?
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's a really hard password. However, a really hard password doesn't help if it's, you know, out there. Although my primary also has two-factor authentication on
it. Well, I would explain to everyone how it is I remember my very long LastPass master password. But explaining that to people would lose security.
You could tell it in a hypothetical sense and maybe change some of the details and get the concept across. I think you should do that.
Well, hypothetically?
Hypothetically.
Basically,
if you were to do a super complex long password for your own LastPass, which you would not actually share the details to, but if you were to hypothetically need to create such a password, how would you hypothetically create such a password?
It is based on a series of random letters that compose a sequence that I have come up with. I'll give you an example that I am not using. Let's say, for example, I put together, in my mind, I could remember a list of all of the subway cars I had been on over by number. And I used those numbers in the order that I had been on them to form a password.
Are there letters involved?
Yes, I have to abbreviate which system. The New York City subway system versus the DC Metro versus the Boston.
And you remember the numbers? Well, no, hypothetically,
hypothetically,
you would.
I came up with something that was the same sort of thing as what I sort of have, if except not anywhere near the subject being track of.
See, now there are one thing that I have done in the past, which I don't currently do, but I have done in the past for a password to a particular place, was there was a set of lyrics that most people didn't remember, but I knew that I knew. But other people didn't know that I knew because I would never sing these lyrics out loud. And the lyrics in this particular case, and I can safely sing them because I don't use them anymore. My name is Coco and I swing from the trees. I live in the jungle. I'm a monkey, you see. When I get hungry, I'd even eat leaves, but I'd rather have a bowl of Cocoa Krispies. And I knew those lyrics. So I would use like the first letter of each word to make up my really, really long password.
Wasn't that a story in the Black Widowers Club?
I don't think so.
Wasn't there maybe a story where somebody guessed a password to a mainframe and it turned out to be the first letter of each word of a quote?
Of a poem? I think it was the first letter of each line in a book or something.
No, it was a poem. Milton.
Yep.
They only serve who stand and wait.
Yeah, yep.
But either way, now passphrases, which I used to suggest, they actually do try to do that now. Various password crackers actually try to use song lyrics that way. So I've come up with things that are in the same family, but then randomly connected. So things that would not seem to be connected by anybody but. So as long as the things you're using to remember your long password have no connection to anybody but yourself and have no meaning, then you could use them as breadcrumbs to resurrect a long password. For example,
or
my example.
If they don't have any obvious connection to you at all, like in my case, the Cocoa Krispie song had no connection to me unless you were like very intimately knowledgeable of my past.
Well, mine doesn't either. That's why I picked one where it could conceivably have a connection to me if I was tracking every single subway car that I'd ever been on.
Or airplane or train.
I don't even remember all the airplanes I've been on over there.
Have you been on a lot?
Well, I would go to visit my family in Florida at least twice a year. So just the Florida flight would add up.
Right, but you wouldn't have to remember them. Just like the individual planes, planes. Like it would be DC-5, then B747, then...
No, give me an L-1011 any day.
I don't know what those things are. They sound like airplane-type numbers, I say.
But an L... Come on, you have to go with the L-1011. That's just classic.
I will happily board an L-10... What?
11.
7? An L-1011? If that is what my ticket says I have to get onto.
Not likely. Really fly anymore.
Well, then I really... I probably would.
But I'll have you know it's my favorite triple holer.
I don't know what a triple hole is.
Triple holer, three engine.
Oh, okay. So back to Android.
Yes, we were talking about passwords. Anyway, yep. How about this? Google has updated Street View with enhanced photos.
Wow, that sounds so cool, and I don't even know what that means.
That's why I have a list here. You can create connections between photospheres.
So you could have like an oblong sphere?
Well, the idea is that next to your photosphere, you could have like an adjoining. Let's say you do a house, you could have room by room. Then, of course, you can tap and hold to select multiple published photospheres. Your photospheres can be grouped. There's now support for landscape mode. And they've added support for KitKat.
KitKat. Yes. I don't remember the KitKat song.
There was a KitKat song?
The one it's KitKat. KitKat is a candy. Of course there's a song. And there's a jingle.
Isn't that the one where they give you a break?
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that KitKat bar. Yep, that's it.
And that, of course, was followed by...
Ooh, that could be my next password.
And that was, of course, followed by Lollipop.
H-I-J-K-L. Yep, sure was.
Oh, I thought I could get another song out of you.
I knew that's what you were going for, and that's why I purposely shut my mouth. Because, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
You came close.
I did.
Moving along, there were some interesting apps that happened this week that used the Nearby API. And I've always wanted to try the Nearby API. So here are three apps that actually use the Nearby API to share things with other people. There's AppLink, which uses it to share links of your installed apps with other devices in physical world. CardKit, which uses it to exchange contacts with nearby individuals. And Radon, which exchanges links with other devices nearby.
And hopefully it asks, because that just sounds creepy.
Well, you know how the Nearby API works.
No, I don't. Can you give me what is this Nearby API?
Well, the Nearby API is actually one of these interesting ideas where it allows you to connect to other devices very simply. So one of them involves
like
sound.
Bluetooth?
No, one of them involves sound.
Ooh, subsonic or ultrasonic.
Yeah.
Or maybe subsonic. Subsonic, ultrasonic, and supersonic. No, that's a speed.
Let's see if I have the description. Here we are. It is Nearby, which is a combination of Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and inaudible sound to establish proximity.
Now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the word sonic for a second. Okay, so subsonic means low volume.
Yeah.
Supersonic means really fast. And ultrasonic means a high frequency.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Why?
Well, normally when you put a prefix on something, there is an anti-prefix, an antonym prefix that you could put on it that would make it the opposite. So if you put like super on something and then you put sub on that same thing, they would be antonyms, right?
Yeah.
So what's the antonym of super?
Sub.
Sub. Okay, well, supersonic does not mean the opposite of subsonic.
Maybe it doesn't. We just don't know it.
What's the opposite of ultra?
What is the opposite of ultra?
I don't know. Normal?
Let's once again go to the ultra antonym. The opposite of ultra, moderate or middle.
Okay, well, okay. So ultra and ultrasonic means high frequency. So what would be a low frequency? I think subsonic would also be.
Yeah.
Well, subsonic is not the antonym of ultrasonic or subsonic, which means how do you refer to a ultra low frequency sound wave?
I refer to it as an ultra low frequency sound wave. Ultra meaning bounds. It doesn't necessarily mean high. Ultra would mean extreme.
Well, ultrasonic typically does mean high frequency.
Yeah, but the definition of the word ultra, extreme.
Well, what is the definition of ultrasonic?
I'm just saying that ultra in context by itself without the sonic in front of it.
Antonym for ultrasonic. Ultrasonic antonyms this is dumb. Antonyms for ultrasonic. Delayed, leisurely, slow, sluggish, halts, slow, tardy. I don't think so, thesaurus.com.
You're unhappy with thesaurus.com?
I am unhappy with thesaurus.com.
Then you should ask for a refund.
Let's go see the definition of. The definition of ultrasonic is not on about dot blank. Of relating to or utilizing ultrasound. I hate that. Okay, here we go. Ultrasound. A noun, sound with a frequency greater than 20,000 hertz. Okay, so that gives us something. What is the word for frequency? Sound with a frequency below 20 hertz. Infra. That's what it was. Infrasonic.
That one I've never heard before.
Yep. Sound of frequency below 20 hertz is called audio sounds, infrasonic, ultrasonic, supersonics. And the answer was B. Infrasonic. There we go. I like that word. That's the antonym of ultrasonic, is infrasonic. I like that.
Does anybody actually use that term? Because I've never heard it.
Apparently not thesaurus.com.
So what do you think of the nearby API?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole wiki article on infrasound.
What do you think of the nearby API, though?
Kind of creepy.
Why? You're afraid that anybody around you... I suppose that's a distinct possibility. Have I silenced you, Jerry? Hello? Jerry? Hello.
Yes? Am I muted?
Well, I asked if I'd silence if you were worried.
And then I didn't say anything, so the answer would apparently be yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm worried that we've lost our connection. You're not.
Or maybe I was communicating to you via infrasonics.
That's quite possible, but I didn't check my phone to see if I got a nearby API message.
I wonder if we could do that over, like, the microphone. See, now that would be super freaky, creepy.
Well, the other two factors would probably prevent it. The Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi. I think they try to
but
use
But I'm not using Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
But I think that those are used to sort of ensure that the two devices are physically near each other by seeing if they detect the same devices.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's straight silly. If you're going to use Bluetooth and Wi-Fi to verify that a communication is possible, then just use that channel.
But what if you don't have that ability to connect with them? For example, Bluetooth requires pairing, whereas a Bluetooth could identify your
location. I don't like it. It's creepy. Okay.
How about this? Netflix has updated their app with better controls for how much cellular data.
That's nice.
It is.
I like that. I
like that too.
Does it like give you like you can use this much, or does it say you can use this bandwidth? Like select the bit rate of the show you're watching, or does it let you set a limit? I only want to use 200 megabytes this month.
Well, if you actually look here, the setting basically I don't watch anything on cellular because I have a far from a.
Okay, so apparently what this means is that there are new settings inside the Netflix app which allow you to set your bandwidth. It allows you to set off, low, medium, high, or unlimited. Off meaning you can only watch on Wi-Fi, which is nice to not accidentally, you know, suck up your bandwidth, which, you know, your allocated gigabytes, which Netflix is perfectly capable of doing. Or you could do low, medium, high, or unlimited, where low is you could watch about 4 hours per gigabyte, and high is about 1 hour per gigabyte, which is, you know, those are nice, easy to understand numbers. That's cool.
Yeah. And do you want to take the next one?
Okay, so I've read about this. I haven't gotten it yet. When it's kind of sad because, okay, so Google Keyboard gets an update. I don't know when they're going to get the update, but the basic idea is that now you get like a one-handed mode where the keyboard kind of shrinks and goes up and over a little bit towards whichever side so that the entire keyboard is within reach of your thumb. That's the idea. Some people wanted it to be more like Microsoft's version where the keyboard is actually kind of curved around where your thumb would be, but this is actually just going to be a little up and over type thing. And it appears like it's going to be a really nice idea. I haven't seen it yet. Have you?
No, but this made me decide to try Google Keyboard out for a while.
And it might do that to me too, but my Google Keyboard doesn't do this yet.
Neither does mine, but I was just at how slow and how fast Google Keyboard. So I wanted to give it a shot and see what I enjoy being.
Really? Because I guess I've just gotten used to it, so I don't notice it anymore. I wonder if it would shock me if it was super quick.
I noticed that it was very quick.
I did notice that in the notes, I think I read something about they're going to start trying to use more than one word for predictions, which is one of the things that makes SwiftKey so awesome.
I saw more than one word.
Predictions are really nice.
I saw more than one word at several.
No, I mean, you look at the last two words to predict the next word.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around with it.
No, they look at more than one word back.
Oh, but I'm
confused. Yep, okay, it happened. It's cool. Okay, so next. OwnTracks is I don't like this one.
Why?
Wow, that's kind of creepy.
Why? It's a private location tracking to your own server instead of the alternative, which is to have a corporation like Google tracking it. Why is this creepy? If I wanted to, I could send this to my own server.
Okay.
I wouldn't Neat. Share it to their server.
Okay. Cool.
Moving along, in honor of the anniversary.
Oh, you know what? We never actually discussed what that was.
What? OwnTracks?
What? Yeah. What was okay, creepy? So, yeah, we just called it creepy and moved on. No, or I called it creepy.
I said what it was. You said it was creepy. I said it was a private location.
Okay.
Why? Why do you think it's creepy?
I just think it's...
Why do you think it's more creepy than a corporation who tracks us?
I didn't say it was more creepy.
I just said if corporations say where I am, why can't I?
Sure.
So on a few days ago was the anniversary of the downing of Nuremberg, and there were some really nice interesting facts that I thought I would share them since I didn't have anything better to talk about. Because sorry, there's a video of the British movie tone. So here are a few things. One-way tickets on the Hindenburg from Germany cost $400, with a round-trip ticket costing $700.
That's all. Is that in?
That is not adjusted. That is what it cost in 1937.
Wow, that's in $1937. Okay, so that's, wow, that's expensive.
Yeah.
That's really, really, I mean, that's more expensive than an airplane ticket now by a lot.
Yeah, people don't understand.
What do you think that is in 2016 dollars? Like $8,000?
Well, let's see. Inflation calculator. 1937. $400 in 1937 in 2016 would cost $6,614.78.
What about $720, which is the number I was running off of? Sounds like around 10 grand.
$11,906.
That's an expensive round-trip ticket.
Well, you know, first class all the way. Let's see here.
Did it come with Wi-Fi? Holy cow.
No. The Hindenburg had completed 10 successful trips before the crash, and it flew over Manhattan before the crash as it made its way to Lakehurst, and the passage of the Zeppelin caused a spectacle. It was 803.8 feet in length and 135.1 feet in diameter, and apparently the image of the Hindenburg disaster was used as the album cover for Led Zeppelin's first self-titled album released in 1969.
Okay, here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Hindenburg flew from Germany to New York.
To Lakehurst, New Jersey.
Okay, to New Jersey. Germany to New Jersey.
Yeah.
In a balloon. How long did that take?
In a balloon, or you're talking about in a
Zeppelin? The Zeppelin is basically a balloon.
If you want to say so.
I do. It's the essence is it's a bladder with air in it.
Let's see if we have here.
It's a specialized bladder with specialized air in it, but still, it's a bladder with air in it.
Let's see here. The 10 westward trips that the Hindenburg made in 1936 took 53 to 78 hours westbound and 43 to 61 hours eastbound.
3 days on a balloon.
2 to 3 days, to be precise.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, moving away from the Hindenburg, I did want to actually ask this question because it came into the popular news. There was apparently an incident between a celebrity and a fan over last week, and there was this quote that I had to ask about our culture. I told her, "This is America. I said, in America, when you see a celebrity, you go and take a selfie. We have selfie sticks for this, and this is what our culture is." Is it?
I find this disappointing. I believe it is, but I find it disappointing that you can't look at another human being and realize that, hey, that's another human being, maybe a famous human being, but still it's a human being, and leave them alone.
But this is the thing. Somebody's walking down the street. They're, let's say, a famous person of which you admire. If they seem like they are not occupied, maybe you wish to go up to them and say, "I'm a big fan of yours." Maybe you wish to say, "Can I take a picture with you?" But what you don't wish to do is to run up to them, grab them, and force them to take a picture with you. That seems rude. I know there are plenty of rude customs that have become part of American culture. I did not know that now when you see somebody, you have the right to go up to them and take a picture with them. But Jerry, if you were walking down the street in Jacksonville and somebody came up to you and said, "Aren't you Android Buffet's Jerry Jones? Can I have a selfie with you?" What would you do?
I would probably say, sure.
Okay.
But it's probably not likely to happen very often. Now, if this happened 100 times a day while I was just trying to buy eggs, then I'm sure I'd get tired of it too.
Okay, I have a request for all of our listeners. Can you please go to Jacksonville and follow Jerry around, and when he's about to buy eggs, run up to him and take a selfie with him?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Don't buy eggs that often?
I'm just saying, I'm not going to go walking around Jacksonville very often. Well, actually, I walk around Jacksonville a lot more often than I used to. And now my location is broadcast to the world.
I'm just curious if anybody will actually take the challenge, run up to you, and take a picture with you.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I've run out of things to talk about.
So shall we call it a night?
We probably should.
All right, let's call it a night. It's night.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night.